amen. Praise the Lord once again for the special music, for the opportunity to be in church on Wednesday night. And so if you have your Bibles tonight, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 6, Judges in chapter 6, we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the life of Gideon, the life of Gideon. And I trust it's been a help to you. God has placed him in Hebrews Hall of Faith for us. He made him a judge over Israel. God saw Gideon as a mighty man of valor. The problem is Gideon did not view himself as God did in the beginning. He did not see that. He didn't see how what things he could accomplish by just yielding to God's presence. Now, afterwards, you're going to find that the whole nation of Israel seen Gideon as a mighty man of valor. As we have looked back and we study and you read the story of Gideon, you will come out of reading that story the very same way, viewing Gideon as God did. He was able to accomplish some great and mighty things through the power of God. And so he is a champion of the underdogs, champion of the underdogs. And no matter how much you might be looked at as an underdog, with God's help, you can accomplish some great things. You can accomplish whatever God's will is for your life, and that's something great, amen? Whatever that will be, that's something that is great. And so what a blessing it is to have Gideon as a Bible character to learn and study from. And so tonight, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to be reading verse 25 down to verse 32. If you remember last week, he asked God for a gift of, a sign rather, of confirmation. Not that he was doubting God, he asked for confirmation that it was God who was speaking to him. That he was, first of all, was hearing from the Lord, it was discerning the spirits, and that God was sure that he knew that he was speaking to Gideon. It wasn't for the neighbor down the road, it wasn't for the guy next door, but it was God speaking his will for the life of Gideon. And so that's what the confirmation was. And again, confirmation's a good thing. And praise the Lord, we have his word right here that confirms everything that God tells us. Amen. And so even in God's personal will, there is times that we need to have the peace of God. And Gideon would have the peace of God that would give him this confirmation. Well, the next step is a test of faith. Gideon's test of faith. And so that's what we're looking at here tonight. Chapter 6, verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, it is a blessing to take advantage of opportunities that you make available to us. Thank you for each one that's here tonight that took advantage of being in church. And Lord, we've already been blessed. Thank you for what we've already received and the encouragement it is just to be around our family of God, others of like mind and belief, and be able to sing praises unto you, and to receive the message of song. And then now, Father, as we have opened up your word, we're studying this character of Gideon, and you've given us much to learn and to principles to apply to our lives. And so I pray tonight that you would give each one of us that ear to hear exactly what you have for us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Gideon's first test of faith, his first test of faith was first of all to destroy or tear down, and then to build up, and then to sacrifice. Three points, three things we're going to be looking at tonight is to tear down or destroy, to build up, and to sacrifice. Israel had been a long time in rebellion. Now, if you go back to Judges chapter 6 and verse, actually chapter 5 and verse 59, it tells us that after the last judge that the land had rest for 40 years. But during that 40 years, the people had started gradually turning away from the worship of God, a creator God, the God of Israel, and they started looking to the gods of those around them. And so they started accepting the laws and the gods of Baal to the place at this time, 40 years later, after rest, by the 40 years was over, they had completely turned away from the God of Israel. And they had Baal worship was the worship of the people of Israel and the children of Israel in the promised land. And so there were Baal altars and groves all around the promised land. So God had judged them as he said he would in chapter 6 and verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The evil was apostasy. The evil was turning away from God and actually worshiping other gods, especially the god of Baal, which had multiple different gods, and had Ashtaroth was of the poles that had been associated with the altars, and we'll get into that in just a little bit here. But they were the gods that Israel had turned to, and which when they turned to these other gods, they turned away from the laws of God, and they accepted the laws and the morality of the world. And so when they turned away from God's morality, they turned away from God's laws, they turned away from the worship of the true God, then they turned to Baal worship. And we find here, the Bible says, the children of Israel did evil on the side of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So it had been some 47 years since the death of the last judge. We find that it gradually got to this place, but they're there at that place now where that Baal worship was the common worship of the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, the children of God. And God would not stand for that. And so God judged them. Now they had cried unto the Lord. That's important because that's what allowed there to be another judge. That's what allowed God to call up Gideon. And if you will, in chapter 6 and verse 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. And he revealed to them their sin, and now at the same time he is speaking to Gideon, and he is raising up Gideon to be the next deliverer of the nation of Israel. But it was because God's judgment, his chastisement, led to repentance. It led to a mindset of wanting to restore God into their lives. Who and how many? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us who it was. Could it have been Gideon's father that in his heart he said, I can't believe I've got an altar of Baal in my own front yard. I can't believe that I'm actually raising my children, having the influence of Baal and Ashtaroth in raising my children. Could have been the conviction of Gideon's father. I think that we see a little bit of evidence, and I believe it was somewhat, because he stood with Gideon later on. Could it be in his own heart he said, you know, I don't want to worship Baal, but I don't know how to get back to worship of God. Who it was? The Bible says that the children of Israel cried out to God for deliverance. Now, was there a great revival going on? The Bible doesn't say that. We have no indication that there was a revival going on to the prophet, but the children of Israel had finally, the conviction had got so severe that there was enough of them that were saying, God, we want to be restored to the worship of God. We want to get rid of this Baal worship from our land. I believe you're going to see that the city was ready for it. Gideon's family was ready for it. God looks upon the heart of man. I don't know that they were actually verbalizing it, but from the inside they were saying, we don't want this lifestyle. We don't believe in the morality, the place that we've gone. We didn't think we'd go as far as what we're at right now. We didn't realize what the worship of God was doing to society when we continued to worship God and obey the laws of God. Now that we have turned away from the laws of God, we've turned away from the worship of God, and now we have this as a God, and the morality and how our children are being raised is different than what it used to be. And God, how do we get back to the way it used to be? I believe that's what's going on, because God heard the cry of the nation of Israel. He sent a prophet to help them to understand their sin, their evil ways. But then he was raising Gideon. They cried. Who and how many, we don't know. But Baal worship was all through the land. And as long as there was Baal worship through the land of Israel, there was no chance of God's help. There was no chance of deliverance. They had to get rid of Baal worship. They had to acknowledge it's not the God that we want to serve. It's not how we want to raise our children. It's not the way we want to live our lives. The morality had gotten so vile that they said, this is not the way that we want society to go. Yeah, what sounds familiar, doesn't it? Human nature is the same today as it's always been. It really is the same. Devil's the same today as he always has been. Evil's the same today as it's always been. Righteousness is the same as it's always been. God never changes. Yeah. So we find here that Gideon now, he has asked, made confirmation that, yeah, it is God speaking to me. So he had that confirmed. And now he hears God tell him, this is the first step. This is what I want you to do. It begins in your own home. Amen. Take a stand against sin in your own home, in your own family, in your own neighborhood. That's what he's telling him. Go back there with me. We just read this, chapter 6, verse 25. It came to pass, the of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. It was his own, not only his home, but his father's house. It was his father's land. And you got to start right there at your home. You got to start right there where you live. That thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Get rid of it. Yeah. Our first mission field as a Christian is your own home, your immediate family, your immediate neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, because that's where God's planted you. That's who God has brought around you. Acts chapter 1, look there with me, because this is important. This is what he's telling to Gideon, but the biblical principle is the very same to us. God says, you are a servant of God's. You're a mighty man of valor. You're a mighty woman of valor. God has a purpose for your life. And if you want to know what it is, if you want to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish, it starts right within your own heart, with your own family, with your own neighbors, with those that you have an influence on right now. Now look what it says there, Acts chapter 1. You know the verse very well. Acts chapter 1, we find this is the beginning of the apostolic age, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, Jesus giving them final instructions, he says, but ye shall receive power. You're going to have what you need to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of valor. You're going to have what you have need of to be all that you can be for the cause of Christ, to accomplish whatever God's will is for your life, whatever that might be. You might not see yourself, as Gideon did not, being able to do what God has for you to do, but when you finally realize it's not you, it's God working through you, then you're on your way to accomplishing God's will for your life. So you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's when you get saved. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is God's will for your life. Once you're saved, ye are a witness for Christ, whether a good one or a bad one, but you are a witness for Christ. You are sharing a light of something. You're showing your light. You're sharing your light, whatever that might be. I trust it's the light of Christ. I trusted that your influence is being an influence of Jesus Christ among whoever you're influencing. But you are saved, you have the power of God. Now God says, I want you to use it, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in the Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now he says, unto me both in Jerusalem, and all these are at the same time. It's not, well, I've got to work on this, and then I'll graduate from this to work on this, and I'll graduate. No, at the same time, I need to take advantage of my witness. I need to get involved in witnessing to those, my immediate family. I need to get involved in, at the same time, the church family and supporting missionaries and being able to get involved in whatever it might be to be able to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the Great Commission. And it's God's will for every believer to be involved in the Great Commission. So how does that start? Well, your family, but then make sure that you are getting the help that you need and that you're connected with the right church so that you are doing what God would have you to do, because you can't do it on your own, but through the church, we can reach the world. And we are reaching the world. I love that thought. The sun never goes down upon the ministries of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. As long as we have missionaries around the world, there's somebody witnessing 24/7. Their souls being saved 24/7. Their churches being planted 24/7. And we're involved in that. Because that's the call of God. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah. So we find here that's what Gideon, his instructions, if he's going to bring the nation of Israel back to God, you have to get rid of the evil. You have to get rid of that which is hindering you from doing what God says he has for you to do. So take a stand against sin and the hindrance to the work of God in your home, in your family, in your neighbors. Now Gideon, the verse says, verse 27 says that Gideon did this by night. That's something to look at, and that's something to understand. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said. I'm going to get it done. I believe this is God's call upon my life. This is the first that he instructed me that I needed to do. Start my home. It's going to impact my city. It's going to impact my friends and my neighbors, ultimately the nation of Israel. So he took 10 men of the servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now some would look at that and they would say, well, that coward. Why did he do it under the disguise of nightfall? Why didn't he just start doing it? No, that, you're getting it wrong. He was going to get it done. He understood what God wanted him to do. But to avoid unnecessary interruptions, to avoid unnecessary opposition, he used wisdom in doing it in a way that he'd get it done the quickest and the best. You know, what I'm saying is, that's a great thought. Let's use wisdom. Going to our brothers and sisters and grabbing their head and say, you will pray. Psst. This is what I want you to say. You're going to get saved. They might out of fear say whatever you want them to say, but that's not salvation. Sometimes we let the flesh get in front of the spirit. And then we think, well, we're just going to force them to turn away. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this and this, and we're going to be hardcore, and we're going to do this. Is that really wise? James chapter 1. I think if he had tried to do it in the daytime, and this is what he knew would happen, he'd been in a fight. And if he's in a fight with his father, and he's in a fight with his relatives, and he's in a fight with the men of the city, he wouldn't have time to do what God told him to do. It would interrupt. There would be so much opposition that the opposition would keep him from doing what it was he was commanded to do. So I believe that he asked God for wisdom. Say, why do you think that? Because that's what the Bible says for us to do. Know that you need to get rid of the sin in your home. Know that you need to get rid of the sin in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, in your country. But you have to go about it in the right way. Being an isolationist will never get the job done. Being weird will never get the job done. Amen. Look how weird I am. Everybody wants to be like me. No. I think what we ought to do is realize, all right, God, what am I facing here? He knew he was facing his father. He knew he was facing his family members. He knew he was facing the leaders of the city, because they all come to this Baal altar to worship Baal. Anybody that came to that altar to worship Baal, even though it was on his father's property, they came there to worship Baal. It's going to impact their lives. I want to make sure that we get this done. God told me to tear this altar down. I'm going to do it, but God, I've got to do it, and I got to use wisdom in getting it done. Yeah, we are to win our loved ones and win our families and win our cities and win our schools and win our coworkers and on and on and on. But we have to do it in a way that it'll get done. That's why it takes wisdom. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and I'm looking at some Christian sometime, I'm thinking, you lack wisdom. That's not how you're going to win your spouse. That's not how you're going to win your children. That's not how you're going to win your parents. That's not how you're going to impact your school. That's not how you're going to impact your coworkers. You're going to run them off instead of bringing them in to receive Christ. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. There's no doubt of doing it. Gideon left God with the commandment to tear down, to destroy. the altars of Baal. But what would be the best way to do it? God, give me wisdom. Amen. Sometimes we lose sight of that part of it. Give me wisdom to reach people in the day and age that we live in. With what they have been influenced by, what they have in their minds, what the media always, if there's going to be some kind of a weird happening with a church, it's going to be a fundamental Baptist church somewhere in Podunk, Kentucky, or wherever else in the hill country, in the backwoods. But the media today takes something in a small little town, an odyssey, and they'll blow it up. If you know of anybody that's involved in an independent fundamental Baptist church, this is what it is, and it's a cult, and this is going on, that's going on, and they're brainwashing, and they're doing No, you've never been to a true independent fundamental Baptist church. You've not heard the messages preached from this Bible right here. You've not seen the love that God has for the world and for his people. But God cannot condone and God will not condone sin. But you got to know when you're dealing with the people that that's what they have on their mind. That's what the media has presented to them. I love what's going on right now. I really do. Because it's exposing fake news. Yeah. Exposing people with influence wanting what they want at all costs. And they won't stop at anything to get what they want. And then to just turn loose somebody you know is guilty of exactly everything they've been charged with because they have some kind of connection somewhere. That's society. Can I tell you, we have to be aware of the mentality of the people that we're trying to win to Christ. And use kind words. You can tell the truth in a kind way, and you'll get more out of that than just telling the truth in an unkind way. Now, you might be telling the truth, but that was not the way to say it. Yeah. Talk to Cherie. She'll tell you what you need to do and how to say things. Yeah. Use your words. Yeah. But we can learn from that. Yeah. So no doubt he was going to do it, but how to accomplish the task? Let's do it when there's not going to be opposition, when there's not going to be interruptions. We'll get it done a lot faster, and we'll deal with it after it's done. Amen? This will impact my dad. This will impact the city. This will impact all of those who come to worship Baal and realize, wait a minute, the altar has been torn down. All the poles of the groves, and that's what the groves were. They were poles that had been associated with Ashtaroth, which is the goddess of fertility. So you can imagine what kind of designs were on the poles. That's what they wanted to see when they come to Ashtaroth, and they would see Baal, and that would give them a green light to any kind of morality or immorality they wanted to give themselves over to. And so when they come to worship the Baal and to look at the altars and the groves that were there next to the altar of Baal, and they found that they were all torn down, and there was an altar of God where there had been a bullock already sacrificed, it brought them back to the ways it used to be when they had the blessings of God upon their lives. I could smell that aroma. I remember back when. Once you take a stand, it might surprise you who will stand with you. But if no one ever takes a stand, no one will stand with them. Now, whether anyone else stands with you, if it's got something God tells you to do, take the stand. But can I tell you that you might be surprised? Matter of fact, look back to our text here. chapter 6, verse 29. The next morning, and they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" Now they're in a crowd, and they just take it for granted because they had all been worshiping Baal that everybody still wanted to worship Baal. They didn't take into account maybe some of them that were under conviction of worshiping Baal and had cried out to God and said, "God, I don't know how we're going to get it done, but God, we want to get back to serving you. I just don't know how to get there. Because everybody around me is worshiping Baal." Amen. If no one takes a stand, then everyone just continue to follow the trend. Can I tell you, that's what's happening today. People are just following a trend. The least resistance. I don't want to cause a scene, and so I don't want to speak up. Just going to have to at least make it seem like I agree with whatever they're doing and whatever they're saying and however they want to live. And they said one to another, "Who hath done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing." Then the men of the city said unto the Joash, now not one, all of them together in this mob type mentality, and Joash said unto all this, no, and the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out thy son that he may die. Because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cast down the grove that was by it." His dad. Did he really believe enough in Baal that he would sacrifice his own son? Or would the conviction of his son's desire to get back to serving God put him over the edge to realize, "I've been wrong this whole time"? Did Gideon know his dad would stand with him? No. He knew God was with him. That was enough. But I believe it was a very tearful, rejoiceful moment when he found out his dad stood beside him. Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Will you plead for Baal? Is he a God that needs you to plead for him? Will you save him? Does Baal need you to save him? I thought that the God is supposed to save us. God was supposed to deliver us from our enemies. We serving a God that needs us to deliver him?" Makes sense. Is that the kind of God you want to serve? A God that needs you to deliver him? Sometimes it's foolish what we allow ourselves to think. And when the reality comes across, we think, "How was I ever blinded?" We're preaching on blinders on Sunday, if the Lord continues to lead that direction. But wow. "Will you save him? He will plead, he that will plead for him, let him be put to death." See if your God will save you if we start to kill you because you're pleading for Baal. "If he be a God, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar." That's common sense. Sometimes we get so caught that we lose sight of common sense. The nation that we're living in today, people are losing common sense. They're losing sight of common sense. What makes a male? Duh. Yeah. How do you know you got a boy or a girl when they're born? Common sense will tell you. Yeah. I don't think I have to tell anybody. Yeah. Now, how you influence that baby afterwards with some tendencies it might have, amen. You got to be careful there. But there's no doubt how they were born. Yeah. Wow. His father stood beside him. Not only that, this was the last mention of the city being against Gideon. If he's wrong, let Baal take care of him. That's a good thought. And if Baal doesn't and he is used of God to deliver us, I wonder who God is. I think a God, if we're going to worship a God, let's make sure that our God can deliver us and he doesn't need us to deliver him. Yeah. Baal needed to go if they wanted God. But there had to be a deliverer that would take a stand and be used of God. He had to take a stand against his own father's house, against his own family, his own co-workers, his own neighbors. But God blessed it. I believe because he used wisdom. You would not have had this turn out the way he did if he had tried to do it in the daytime. If he tried a different tactic. But with the wisdom of God, he dealt with them the way that they needed to be dealt with in order to accomplish what God wanted to have accomplished. Let's learn from that. Yeah. The groves were poles with images of Ashtaroth, which is the goddess of fertility. And they were to destroy it. Throw down the altar of Baal that thy fathers hath, and cut down the groves that is by it. Sin must be confessed and forsaken, not tolerated nor condoned. Had a man this last week tell me, I was witnessing to him about our church, and he said, you know, I belong to a Christian church, and the pastor came up to me Sunday and introduced this homosexual couple to me, telling me that they were the next members. What do you think about that? Yeah. I had the opportunity to tell him what I thought about it. Yeah. I said, you can't condone sin. You love people, you really do. And you hear that all the time. But I mean, it's coming down to it. They have to be taught. They have to understand the reason behind it. The reason behind it is we believe in a God, a real God, a true God that has established morality, who has given us laws by which we are to live by. If we want his blessings, we have to live by his laws, by his principles. We cannot, no matter what, condone something that God says is wrong, that God says is sin. And we can't let it into the church to where it is accepted. All people are accepted in the church, but sin is not accepted. I'm not going to let a drug dealer come in here and start dealing drugs to our children. If you say, well, it's all right to have this drug dealer bring his drugs in as long as he needs saved, he'd bring him in, let's love him and let him impact the minds of our children. You can't do that. No one would be in favor of letting that type of sin into the church. No one would be in favor of letting an alcoholic come in and set up a bar at the altar. We wouldn't let that happen. We can't let any sin that God calls sin be approved or condoned in the church. And I'm willing to go to prison over that one. Yeah, I'll preach that as long as I've got breath in my lungs. Because it is the Bible, and the Bible is what needs to be preached. Because it's the truth of the Bible is what men truly need. Wow. Tear it down. Use wisdom in doing it. Get rid of it. Stand against it. Use wisdom in doing it. Sometimes not wise to lose a job when you can go about it a different way. Let your light so shine. Let them see Christ's love in you. Let them come to you and ask you, how do you have that? Where do you get that? Use wisdom. Use wisdom. I can't tell you exactly how to do it in your circumstance, in your situation, but God has you there to be a light. God has you there with a purpose, and you need to seek His wisdom in how you handle your particular situations with the world, your particular situations with your own family. Not too many families do not have some type of homosexual problems in some extension of our families. In the world we live in, it's there. Use wisdom. Amen. Know what people need, and they need the Lord. Know what it takes to have the Lord. Share that with them. Share what it takes to have God's blessings on a person's life. Cannot condone, cannot surrender to that which is going to destroy. Destroys families, destroys churches. It will destroy our society. Don't ever tear down without having a plan to build up. I don't have time to go into it. I'm going to have to stop short of this. But never tear down. Never discipline without a plan. Never take away without a plan to replace, to build up. Because when you leave a void, no matter how clean it might be, if it's you've left a void, we're going to study this next week. But Satan is always ready to fill a void. The devil is good at filling a void. Sometimes we do it with our children. We take away. We discipline wrong. But we don't have a plan of building up. Because you're not building up, you've left a void. And Satan will fill that void. We got to stop. Every head bowed. Let's bow before the Lord. I believe God's given us quite a bit in just this first step point. I might have went a little farther on that than what I had planned. But I believe it's something we need to know. God had a plan. Not only did God have a plan to build, to tear down, God had a plan to build up and a plan for sacrifice. We'll see those two next week. Maybe there's something going on in your life. You need to take a stand. You know you do. Have you prayed about wisdom to know how to do it? Do you have a plan once you've tore down to build up? God spoke to you tonight, and there's an invitation going on right now. If you need to come for whatever reason, or if you need to make a decision in your pew right there, just make note of it right now. Then start praying. Next month, we're fasting. Might be a good thing to fast over. God, give me wisdom. Give me clarity of thought. Give me liberty. Lord, open the doors. Help me to know how to do it. I know what you want me to do. I know what needs to be done. God, give me wisdom to do it. Tear down. Build up. Sacrifice what God has for you to sacrifice. Anyone else need to come tonight? And Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for this example and these principles that we're learning from the life of Gideon. And God, those principles are just as effective today as they were then. Help us to learn to make application to our day and time and the situations that we find ourselves in. I pray for each one that has decisions to make, that made decisions tonight. God, strengthen them. Give them wisdom to carry it out, whatever it is you've revealed them to them that they need to do. Now, as we get ready to leave, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us home safely tonight, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.